We'll go ahead and stand as we read our scriptures this morning. We'll go ahead and turn in our Bibles to John. This morning we're going to turn into our Bibles to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, we're going to look at verse 36 and then move into 14 and just do the first three verses. The title of this morning's message is Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And I just trust that each of you that are here, for whatever reason, we just trust that it's honoring to God that you'll be encouraged, you'll be blessed. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, where we left off last week, in verse 36, Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow until you've denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My, how we need this word today. Father in heaven, thank you for our time of worship, prayer, just seeing people fellowshipping with one another. Now we ask that you'd open up our hearts to receive your word. Teach us through your Holy Spirit. Guide us, Lord, through this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk about missiles and the Messiah today. So we're going to look at where we're at in John's Gospel. It speaks specifically about, let not your heart be troubled. And I'm going to bring application into the message regarding what has happened, what is going on in the world as it relates to the nation Israel. As you saw driving in, we stand with Israel with the sign out in front. Yeah. And that's a credit to you as well. I mean, it's the heart of this ministry. And I think it's important, and I've tried to, as a pastor, let people know where we are at, where we stand as we go through the Word of God, whether it's standing for human life, unborn life, again, standing for Israel, and many other things. So it's important to not be vague, but to be very clear where you're at with that. And so we're thankful for the, hopefully, testimony it can bring. When we look in our text this morning and we see chapter 13, verse 36, and what is happening is Jesus just gave this new commandment. And it's really hard because the Jewish people, they had 613 commands that they tried to keep. And when it's Jesus is ministering, he makes it really simple and he says, I'll just give you two. And I like that. I think I can embrace that. And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as God has loved you. And upon that is based all the law and commands of the Old Testament. And so we saw that he's saying a new commandment in verse 34 of John 13. I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you. You also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Remember, as we started chapter 13, so 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 are about 24 hours. It's a short period of time. 18, he goes to the cross in 19. So it's just a short period of time. The next day, he's going to be on the cross. These disciples, that hasn't registered with them. They've heard the teaching. They saw the Lazarus being raised from the dead and the truth given about this teaching, but it hasn't registered. I mean, Jesus is here. He is with us. We have been looking forward to the Messiah coming, and setting up his kingdom. We're going to overthrow Rome and the oppression of Rome. And we're going to have significant places and positions with Jesus. We left everything to follow you. Now's your time. Make your stand. He's going to make it on the cross. But they don't realize that. And so he says, now, you're going to be marked out by the love you have for one another. And they have to be thinking, this is getting really good. And then he tells them, where I'm going, you can't follow me. It's just like, what are you talking about? We left all to follow you. Well, we're excited. What are we playing, hide and go seek now? I mean, what do you mean we can't follow you? And Peter said in verse 37, Lord, why can't I follow you? I'm going to lay my life down for you. And it's really interesting because in studying this, which we're familiar, most might be familiar with Peter, I think he is 100% sincere. I think that most of you here are 100% sincere. I think that we sincerely want to follow Jesus with all of our heart. But you know something? I've come to realize there's hidden things within this heart that God has to reveal or expose or to deal with. And there's hidden matters in Peter's heart. There's a certain sold-out determination, which you have to love. I mean, having that determination, I'm with you. I'm going to stick with you. He'll later say, even if all these others deny you, I'm with you. And Jesus brings about a hidden part of his heart that he had no idea. Because if you look there, Jesus answered and said, Peter, you need to lay down your life for my sake, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to deny me. So what we had in this room just earlier, Judas betrayed Jesus. Now, a betrayal is different than a denial. They seem somewhat similar, but they can be eternally different. So they saw Judas leave the room. And it's like, okay, then we're all for you. I'm not a Judas. I'm Peter. Remember, you called me the rock. I'm your man. I'm for you. But there's something in your heart, Peter, it's hidden, and you're not aware of it. And reading through this, I realize there's things in my heart I'm not aware of, but the Lord makes me aware of. And so the application right here at this part, for me personally, maybe for you, is my personal determination, I would say, can be a good quality, but it's not going to keep me from falling short and failing the Lord. I need to be yielded to God and to the Holy Spirit of God and to the Word of God. I need to humble myself because he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. And Peter is in this place. Now the Lord knows he is going to deny him. And that denial is with cursing. It's with, I don't know him. It's with a sense of he's dying on a cross and I don't want to die like him. I'm going to save my life by denying him. I'm off the hook. I don't know him. I'm not going to go to the cross when it came down to it. And Jesus, how loving is he towards us? I mean, it's amazing. His grace and his mercy and his kindness. If I was Jesus, I would have tossed me a long time ago. But he's patient. And he sees the big picture, which is what we don't see. He sees us already seated with him in the heavenly places. He's fast-forwarded the tape. He sees us with him. The song, I Can Only Imagine. You know, one of the Beatles says, I imagine if there is no heaven. Imagine if there is. No, I don't think so. There is a heaven. And there is a hell. And there is a reality to this life that we live. And I'm looking forward to seeing our Savior and Lord face to face. Back to verse 38. Will you lay down your life for my sake? Truly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you've denied me three times. And we would have to go over to Luke's gospel to see that there. One of these statements Jesus made prior to his crucifixion in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. He says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. The only reason, brothers and sisters, I'm here is because Jesus prayed for me. And he has given me and you the faith. We don't manufacture it. It's a gift. God's given us the faith and the grace to believe him and to trust him. He said to Peter, basically, don't let your failure be your undertaker. Let our failure be our teacher. And so you can see at the end of chapter 13, and remember, when Jesus is giving the text and the teaching of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, it's all they're all in the room. He didn't stop and say, turn over to chapter 14. We put in those chapters and verses just to help us in our reading. But this is all happening. So you can see the response of the disciples. If you can just imagine Jesus saying, now Judas left and he betrayed me. Now our key guy, Peter, he's going to deny me. And you can see what's going on. And you're leaving us, Jesus. And so he says to them, because he sees, let not your heart be troubled. And we have a troubled heart. I was writing some things down that what would cause a troubled heart based on what we're looking at. And one is personal failure. And to experience personal failure, you let somebody down. You let the Lord down. And you're dealing with that personal failure. That's troubling to my heart. Lord, oh man, it's troubling to my heart. And usually personal failure, sin is involved in it. So the enemy wants to come and condemn us. And the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's just like, I need that. Your failure could have resulted in some financial hardship. Your failure could result in it's going to take an extended period of time to get things back together or back on track. There's a problem. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus is God. So the cure is I got to go back to the Word of God and believe what Jesus has said. The Lord in his word has spoken to every situation we're in, to every failure we've experienced. He's with us and he's for us. The second problem, according to these scriptures, if we think about it, is the problem about an uncertain future. I don't know what to do. I don't know, what should I do? What should we do? Do you think we should do that? Have we prayed about that? Have we, you know, seen some confirmation from the Lord? Sometimes people are looking for certain things for the Lord to affirm that. There's an uncertainty. I don't know. I don't know about my health or financial situations. I don't know about my career or schooling or direction to go. There's an uncertainty. And that uncertainty troubles our hearts. What's the results going to be? What did the doctor say? Did you get the x-rays back? Get the MRI? How'd the surgery go? How's the recovery going? It's troubling the heart. Just talking about it, I have to take a breath. But Jesus knows this. He's with his disciples. He's with you and I today. We are his followers. And we see all the things that are going on. It looks like things are out of place. But the Lord says, I've got it. I'm in control. I'm in control in the Middle East. I'm in control of what's going on with my people, Israel and the nation Israel. I'm in control. I've got it. That uncertainty about the future causes us to be paralyzed. It freezes us. And then all of a sudden, instead of faith, we just are lacking. And we are paralyzed to do anything. It's just like, this is so consuming to me. I go to sleep with it on my mind, and I don't go to sleep, and I wake up, and it didn't go away, and it's there. God help me. Psalm 38:6 says, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long. One of our greatest enemies is a troubled heart. We become ineffective. We end up focusing on our worries and concerns. So not only is let not your heart be troubled ministering to personal failure and sin, not only is let not your heart be troubled ministering to the uncertainty about your future, let not your heart be troubled is to minister to your fears. To your fears. You and I have been on a journey where, unfortunately, our national leaders understood how they could use fear to manipulate people. And they did it so well. And thankfully, from the very beginning of the pandemic, we put together Fear Not Standing, because we realized this is a strategy of the enemy. He's using these other visible people in leadership, but it's a strategy of the enemy, and leaders take advantage of it, and they use it for motivation to make decisions that please them. And it's challenging because you want to please the Lord and you don't want to be governed by fear. Fear is the enemy to freedom. Let not your heart be troubled. The cure is faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Fear. They were fearful. We're fearing losing you, Jesus. We don't know where you're going. We don't even know the way. We're filled with fear and anxiety, and now Peter's going to deny you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, in it it says, through death, Jesus might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were their lifetime subject to bondage. And when I, and this is just a personal observation, which I could be totally wrong in my observation, but I saw many people that I thought during the COVID time, that I thought because of their position in life, the things they've accomplished, the resources they have, economic position they're in, that they'd be good. For me, I saw a large number of people in that category overwhelmed with fear and living in fear. And it surprised me. And what I think, and again, just a personal observation, they are afraid of death and have not made their life right with God. That's what the deal was. And they're afraid of someone like myself would cause them to die, which would be further from the truth. And cause you to have eternal life through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. A psalm that we love is, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Jesus will say later on in John 14, verse 27, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he says, here's the cure. Believe me, and I will give you peace. That's what we want, is his peace. Romans 5:1, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. So when we have peace with God, we experience the peace of God. They work together. So if you're battling right now those fears and anxieties and the uncertainty and the personal problems that you have and your heart is troubled, go to the Prince of Peace and let the peace of God minister to you. Then you'll experience peace with God. Then you'll experience the peace of God. Finally, later, Paul would say, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 4, 6 and 7. So as we're looking at this, chapter 13 and 14, the disciples are with Jesus. It's such a sweet, wonderful time. It's hours before he goes to the cross. They are uncertain about who he is and what he's going to do. He tries to calm their hearts. He's going to have them focus on the reality of the death, burial, and resurrection, the provision for eternal life. He already knows the plans he has for them. He knows that maybe in 50 days or so, the Holy Spirit's going to fall upon them. They're going to preach salvation. Thousands are going to get saved. The church is going to start. There's somebody in the meantime, Saul, is against the church, creating havoc, wanting to destroy the church completely. And he is going to be apprehended by Jesus Christ. And he's going to be the messenger of the gospel to the Gentile world. So we're living at the crossroads here in this upper room. Jesus sees it all before him. The world, the Jews and the Gentiles, they're going to be reached by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's where we transition into, we stand with Israel. The heartbeat of the world always comes back to Israel, Jerusalem, and the Temple Mount, and the Jewish people. And we support Israel's right to exist. God's eternal purpose is to bless the world through Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. "You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not send his love on you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. Let me make a statement about our nation, the United States. The United States has one of the most worthwhile accomplishments it has been consistent regarding the plight of the Jewish nation. No other nation in the history of the world has a better record of treating individual Jews with respect than does America. The same can be said to our befriending Israel as a nation. America has committed many sins for which we may well deserve judgment, but as a nation, to this point, we've been a consistent friend of the Jews and the nation of Israel, as well as a benefactor. In 1948, President Harry Truman helped persuade the United Nations to recognize Israel as a nation. Since then, the United States has contributed billions of dollars in aid to Israel. From the biblical declaration of God's love and care for his chosen people, the nation Israel, and from the history of the nations being destroyed because of their evil dealings with God's chosen people, the Jews, Christian believers should give support to the chosen people of God. It tells us in Psalm 121:4, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." This is the nation, the people, that spent 400 years in slavery in Egypt. Jerusalem has been totally destroyed more than once. There was 2,000 years of separation from the homeland and not having a place to be. 6 million were killed in the Holocaust. In 1948, after Truman recognized Israel as a nation, the next day they were attacked in a war. The next day. In 1967, there was a Six-Day War. In 73, the Yom Kippur War. And now 2023, the Hamas War. When you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. Just some quick facts. A week ago, on October 7th, 2023, Israel declared war on Hamas. To this date, and these numbers all are changing, over 1,300 Israeli civilian soldiers have died. We believe that there's over 150 hostages, over 2,000 have been injured. 29 Americans have been reported dead, and there's 15 unaccounted for at this time. And what we have seen, and we talked about it last week, and I sent out an email, be careful, watch the global disdain for Israel. And there it is, the international support to condemn Israel. The leaders of Hamas terror organization, Hamas is an Islamic terror organization. The leaders of Hamas terror organization declared earlier this week that Friday, October 13th, would be a global day of jihad. So you saw the outrage in our own city, on our own campus, down at UW, throughout the nation, protesting what Israel is doing. Senior Hamas official said in an interview that aired on Russia TV a couple days ago that the terror group had planned the deadly October 7th attack in secret for 2 years. In order to keep the attack secret and successful, he said, the different factions and our allies did not know the zero hour. By the way, I appreciate a number of things that our administration has done, even things the president has said, which I appreciate, but they haven't gone far enough. They need to freeze any money to Iran totally and take it off. And they need to come clean and say that Iran is involved with Hamas in supporting and training this leader that So Hamas senior official said last week. We also listed the allies which they were notified after the attack started, While the list started with Hezbollah and Iran, it also included the Turkish government. Some quick facts. May 14, 1948, Israel was declared a sovereign nation. May 14th. May 15th, 1948, the Arabs attacked it. In 1967, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan wanted to wipe out Israel. There was an Arab summit right after that, and the points of the summit was regarding Israel, no recognition, no peace, no negotiation. I'm saying all this because there's a whole other scenario out there that's bringing a charge against Israel. And I want to be clear on what Israel has done, what God has done and is doing through this. The Hamas charter calls for the destruction of Israel. In Article 13, there is no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and a waste of endeavoring. The entire planet, and this is from another Muslim leader, the entire planet will be under our law. There will be no more Jews or Christian traitors. The entire 510 million square kilometers of planet Earth will come under a system where there is no injustice, no oppression, no Zionism, and no treacherous Christianity. So when you see these protests happening, they have no clue on the historical background. Listen to what Golden Meir said, the fourth prime minister in the 70s. We can forgive the Arabs for killing our children. We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill their children. We will only have peace with Arabs when they love their children more than they hate us. They're using children as a shield from retaliation. They state we love death as much as the Jews love life. Since 2001, when they started firing rockets into Israel, to date, over 20,000 rockets have been launched into Israel. We live on a border. You just tell me what would happen if a missile from across the border came and landed here in our county, or two, or three, or four. What would happen if people came across, thousands, hundreds, thousand people come across the border and came into your homes and murdered you and the children and cut people's heads off and did treacherous things? 20,000 rockets. They flew balloons into Israel with incendiary devices to destroy farms and cities. They had paragliders with machine guns coming in a week ago, drones with bombs. Israel gave Gaza the settlement to the Palestinians in 2005, and they elected to have Hamas be their representation. And Hamas means, it's Arabic to English, means Islamic Resistant Movement. They're funded and supported by Iran. Iran's history has been to destroy Israel. In January of 2019, one of Iran's generals from Tehran said, "Our strategy is to erase Israel from the globe." And it seems that, considering the evil that Israel is doing, it's bringing itself closer to that. He added, "We announced that if Israel, listen now, does anything to start a new war, it will obviously be the war that will end with its elimination, and the occupied territories will return to us. The Israelis will not have even a cemetery to bury their corpses." That was in 2019. Israel wipe them off the map. Why? Because Satan incites people to destroy Israel. God is sovereign, and he created a rescue plan for the world, which included raising up a nation through the seed of one man, Abraham, to establish the Hebrew people and a nation called Israel, a race of people, a nation of people, by God's providence, and gave them boundaries of land and a savior for these people and the whole world. And Satan has always been opposed to God's redemptive plan in trying to destroy Jesus and the Israeli people. Remember, Jesus is King of the Jews. Revelation 12:4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon, which is Satan, stood before the woman, which is Israel, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child, the Messiah, as soon as it was born. Let me read out of John 4:22. For salvation is of the Jews. The declaration that salvation is of the Jews suggests are you, me, us, in miserable debt to Israel. All that we have worth having today has come to us through the Jews. This Bible, from them, this holy book, our Savior. Let us never forget to pray for God's chosen people. And God tells time by the Jewish people. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, a prophecy, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish transgressions, to make an end to sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. People are familiar, you are, with Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39 speak of a future war. So the question comes up, is this that future war? Let me give a clear answer. No. This is not that war. But it could go in that direction. The difference is, in the Ezekiel war, nations are fighting against Israel. No nation will support Israel during the Ezekiel wars. Currently, the USA has two warships in the Mediterranean Sea, and there's other types of things that we're doing to be supportive to Israel. All of this could cause Iran to do something. All nations on the Ezekiel wars will turn against Israel. What does Iran call us? What does Iran call Israel right now and has for years? Iran calls the USA the big Satan and Israel the little Satan. Our past president, Obama, gave billions of dollars in cash to Iran. He promised them $100 billion more. The following president that came in, Trump, canceled the deal. Biden reinstated the deal by promising $6 billion. Iran is the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. What are we doing? It's just like Hamas terrorists have been trained by the Russians, according to one of my reports. Russia has said if the United States supports Israel in this Hamas war, then Russia will support the Palestinians. Turkey's president rebuked Israel, saying that they are ruthlessly targeting Palestinians and violating human rights. There's been a deal made between Turkey and Russia for an anti-ballistic missile system. So we see some things happening. Hopefully not confusing here. There's a war that Israel has declared against Hamas because they were attacked. And they have every right to defend themselves to whatever extent that their leadership wants to do that. We are wise as a nation because looking at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I have no patience for replacement theology. The church has not replaced Israel. The church, as we see, was called into existence in Acts. Israel still exists, and God has plans and purposes, and we're seeing them at this time. He hasn't forsaken Israel, and he has the church praying and interceding. We have a missionary friend, just got an email from him today in Israel, but because of what's going on, they have to evacuate right now. Breaks his heart because of what's going on. We love. In Genesis 17:7, and I will establish, and this is for replacement theology believers, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. In Ezekiel 33:11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. So in the midst of everything going on, realize the believers in Israel, the believers in Hamas area, Palestinian area, the believers in Iran, in Iraq, in Turkey. We have believers in Turkey from this fellowship. So there's believers all around. We need to be praying for these dear believers. They're serving God and laying it down. And those seeds that they've sown, we pray that there'll be some new believers in faith. And we don't take delight in the death of the wicked. We pray that they'd come to faith in God. So you have to make sure that the Lord, through his Spirit, governs our heart in our prayer time and in our commitment. We do not delight in the death of the wicked, but we are not confused as to the evil and moral anti-Jewish and anti-Christian methods and worldviews by which these other entities operate. Hamas plainly stated goal is genocide. It's stated, we're going to wipe out Israel from the face of the earth. We're going to kill infidels. That's all non-Muslims. By martyrdom, they promote their own young men can have some religious guarantee for their so-called heaven. Hamas is an Islamic terrorist organization that is murdering infants, children, women, civilians. They purposely are storing weaponry and hiding amongst the Palestinian civilians and instructing them not to evacuate for the purpose of using them as a human shield to further fuel hatred for Israel when they respond with military force. Brothers and sisters, do not stay silent in the face of such evil. They are looking to take this next week and coming weeks and months probably, but the pictures of the devastation, and they want to change the heart of the world to go against Israel. Even our own nation and other nations who initially said Israel has the right to do what they need to do to defend themselves, that scenario is changing, and it'll change quick. Because people can only endure so much. And then Hamas, it's a strategy, what they're doing to get the pictures out there. And so I just want to end with some real quick application. One, we want to be prayerful. Pray for peace and stability in the Middle East, for wisdom for the leaderships. We want to be aware We're living in very difficult days. So we have a Middle East war. We have Russia and Ukraine. We have China spying and stealing and preparing their own military. We have North Korea flexing their nuclear arms. We have Taiwan wondering what's going to happen. We have our own economy tanking, and of great concern, we have an unsecure border. Tens of thousands of military-age males from the Middle Eastern countries have come in. We have no idea who they are, where they are. Over 150 have been on the FBI terrorist watch list. There's a great infiltration into our nation. You need to be aware. We need to be informed, so through Bible teaching and from good news sources. We want to stay strong. Hamas and Iran want images of Israel inflicting the world, and they will use social media to turn the hearts of people and nations against Israel. You and I were saved for a reason, and we're saved for this purpose. In our spiritual life at this time, we went through COVID. COVID was training ground for today. So let's let the Lord, through his Spirit, raise that spiritual bar in our life. Let's stay strong and move ahead strongly. Consider what it is to be a disciple. Your personal serving, your loving, your witnessing. Stay in the Word. Be a blessing to the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to close in prayer instead of a song just regarding time. So as you're standing, I'd like to pray. Father, I understand that it's a lot of information today. First, I want to thank you. You said, let not your heart be troubled. I pray for the peace of God upon our fellowship and those that may be listening. I pray that you would be strengthened in the love and the truth and really receive in faith that peace right now. That the peace of God would minister to any fears, any concerns, any failures, that you would leave here saying, God, you have it in control. We would leave here realizing that Israel is at war. We stand with them. We understand a little bit better how you called them into existence. You have an eternal, everlasting covenant with them. We don't want to forsake that. We want to be a blessing and pray for them. We ask that you would guide their own leadership. Father, we would ask that you would save multitudes in these war zones, that despite what their ungodly beliefs may have been, they would turn to the true and the living God at this time. So I pray, God, for anyone that maybe you're here or listening and it's just like, what is all of this? I want to ask you to consider having a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. He has a place in heaven prepared for you if you believe in him and receive his free gift of eternal life because of his death, burial, and resurrection. And that takes place by admitting, God, I have sinned against you and others. I want to forsake my sin and ungodliness and turn to you and receive your love and forgiveness. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.